Today's daf is Chulin Daf Tzadi Dalit, and today's shir is once again sponsored by Dr. David Landerer. In honor of this Daf Yomi shir, we thank him very much for the continued sponsorship. And again, if anyone would like to sponsor the Daf Yomi shir, the email address is dafsponsor@bknw.org. We thank everyone who's sponsored and continues to sponsor the shir. Today we will begin like two lines before the Mishnah. We fell just a bit short of the Mishnah, so we'll finish up the last line before the Mishnah about what why the Mishnah brings up Chelev out of nowhere, and then we're going to see the Mishnah on the bottom of the side. Gimel Beis is going to talk about sending a thigh to a non-Jew when there's a Gira Nasha in that thigh. Are you allowed to be Shaleach to an Ovid Chavim? That's going to lead us into a discussion, the major discussion in Shas of Genevas Da. Appears on this daf. This is pretty much the majority of daf Tzadi Dalet Amud Aleph are different stories about Genevas Das and halachos that are derived from the stories of Genevas Das. Then on the bottom of Tzadi Dalet Amud Aleph, we're going to have three reasons not to sell Nevelos and Trefos. I'm sorry, two reasons not to sell Nevelos and Trefos even to a guy, and two reasons not to send him to buy meat for you. Then on Amud Beis, we're going to have three resolutions to a three-part brisa. The brisa appears on the bottom of Amud Aleph, a three-part brisa that seems to switch back and forth between a case of a makom shemachrizin and a makom shein machrizin. That's a notion we're going to deal with a lot in the daf. That in certain places, that a minug, that if in the slaughterhouse there was a trefa that day or a nevela that day, there would be machriz. They would announce, "Oh, today there was a nevela, trefa." The whole community should be aware to be extra careful in terms of what you buy from a guy. And other places, there were makom shein machrizin. They didn't have a minug to make any special announcements, so people are always a little bit cautious. They always knew that they had to be careful. So we have a brisa that has three parts. It seems to go back and forth and back again. Whether it's a makom shemachriz, makom shein machriz, we're going to have three resolutions to that brisa. Then the Gemara is going to talk about how do we do this hachraza exactly, and that discussion is going to, how we do hachraza is going to teach us that genevas das is mutter when the person is mata es atzmo, when the person is fooling himself, that you didn't really try to fool him, he's just being foolish in terms of what his assumptions are about the situation at hand. So let's begin again, just two lines before the Mishnah on Daf Tzadi Gimel and Beis. Vi ala chelev. So we said the Chum hold that a tabach is ne'eman on both nikur agid and on the and on chelev, even though previously the Mishnah just said that Reb Meir holds that ain't a tabach and ne'amanim al nikragid, that tabachim are not believed about nikragid, but it didn't say anything about chelev. So it says Gemara chelev mandikar shmei. Who mentioned any chelev? Reb Meir only mentioned about nikragid. He didn't say anything about chelev. So why would the chacham who are coming to argue Reb Meir start mentioning chelev? So achikamar, this is the way it should read. Ain ne'amanim alav ve'al hachelev. That Reb Meir is saying tabachim are not neman on nikur agid, nor are they neman about chelev. V'chamim neman malav ve'al chelev, and the Chacham say they are neman about nikur agid and on chelev. So the machlokas is about both things. So according to the Gemara, Reb Meir's shita is that a tabach is not neman to say that he was already noked the gira nasha and the chelev, and the Chacham say that he's believed about both. Tosos explains that there's no machlokas by the chelev of the gira nasha. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that Shomer Agid is Mutal Gamri, so it's not Shaykh to talk about Ne'emanus. And also, if we're talking about a Shomer Agid, so it would turn out that it's if we're talking about Shomer Agid, it would turn out that you're saying that it's Aser. Why would the Gemara ask from our Mishnah on Shmuel, who says that everyone agrees that Shomer Agid is Mutal Min HaTorah? And he brings many other rayas. But okay, new Mishnah now. Says the Mishnah, is a person allowed to send a thigh of an animal without removing the gira nasha to an ovid chavim? Shaleach adam yarech l'ovid chavim sha'gira nasha betoche. Even though the gid is still there, you're allowed to send the entire thigh of the animal to the ovid chavim mipnei shemakom nikur, because everyone will be able to recognize the makom of the gid. So the Jew who might ultimately buy that meat from the ovid chavim will be able to tell if it's shalem or not, and if it's shalem, he'll know that it's that the gid has not been cut out from it, and he's going to know on his own that he should cut the gid out from that meat. Now this Mishnah is used as a raya in the Machlokas Rishonim about how to paskin in the Machlokas Tanayim in Maseches Pesachim. What's the Machlokas Tanayim? You'd expect this Machlokas to be here, but it's not. There's a Machlokas in Pesachim Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon if Gira Nasha is Mutar Bahana'a and only Aser Bachila, or it's even Aser Bahana'a. Why is it in Pesachim Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph? Because in the second paragraph of Pesachim, there's a whole sugya about when the Torah uses the lashon of achila, lo socha, lo sochlu, lo yechlu, lo yochlu. Does that include in Nisrana? So lo ye achel, everyone agrees, includes in Nisrana. Question is, all other lashonos of achila, does that include in Nisrana? So Giranasha is one example where the Torah says the iser belashon achila. So the Gemara over there is a machlokas tanaim where between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, if a kid is mutar banah, Rabbi Yehuda says mutar, Rabbi Shimon says Aser. In the Zohar in Parshas Vayishlach writes, because it says Kinaga b'kaf Yerach Yaakov b'gira nasha, that you see that afilu ba'ana it's aser, and afilu li'avi l'kalba, and even to give it to a dog is going to be aser, and that's the shita of Rabbi Shimon. So the Mishnah over here tells us that you're allowed to be sholech to an avichavim gira nasha, and based on that, the Rambam in the 8th parak of Hilchos Machol Sasur, Salach Yudalid, writes a gira nasha is mutar ba'ana. What's his raya? Because he says lefichach mutar l'adam l'sholach l'akum Yerach shegira nasha. That's why you're allowed to send it to an akum, because it's mutar b'hana. We're apparently assuming that it's an akum that you have a relationship with, and there's going to be hana from the fact that you're giving it to the akum. So the Rambam's lefichach tells you where the Rambam got this psak, that even though Rabbi Shimon said it's aser b'hana, the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yehuda that it's mutar based on our Mishnah. The Rosh quotes that the Chachmei Lunil disagree with the Rambam based on the sugyim psachim, and Rabbi Yona also is cholik on the Rambam and Aser's Bana. The Rosh is Matir Bana, and he says that in Ashkenaz he saw that they were no egg to give it to a guy. The Rosh transferred in between from Ashkenaz to Sfarad, but initially in Ashkenaz he remembers they used to give it to a guy, and he says there are places, he was well traveled, there are places that they don't give it to a guy. There are places they won't even feed it to the cat. So Beis Yosef quotes the Rosh, whose maskana is that it's mutar bana, and he says, but you should know, in Sefer HaZohar it says that the gid is aser bana, and therefore tov li zohar, that a person should be careful. So even though the halacha, Beis Yosef seems to conclude that it's mutar, but the Zohar says aser, and therefore you should be careful. So says the Darkei Moshe on that Beis Yosef, I don't understand what just went on over here. Of course the Zohar says that it's aser bana. The Zohar is Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon's the Tana that says aser bana. Stam Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So what's the surprise? Oh, but the Zohar says. That's the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. And it's against the Talmud Shalana. We don't pass like the Zohar when it's against the Talmud Bavli. Rabbi Yehuda was Matir Bana. We pass like Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Halacha, Rabbi Yehuda. So it's not a raya from the Sefer HaZohar, Le'inyan Halacha. So that's what the Darkei Moshe writes. And then he writes, V'chein Kasa Beis Yosef Ba'atzmo B'Sefer Orachayim Simul Chafei. Beis Yosef himself said the same thing, the same idea as I'm saying, says the Rama, in Simul Chafei. What happened in Simul Chafei? There's a Machlokas Rishonim, Simul Chafei is Hilchas Tefillin. There's a Machlokas Rishonim whether a person is supposed to say a second bracha on the Shal Rosh, Al Mitzvah Tefillin, or just one bracha on the Tefillin, Laniach, and that covers both the Shal Yad and the Shal Rosh. So the Beis Yosef of there quotes from a Sefer HaOgur in Simul Lamed Vav, where the Sefer HaOgur writes that Ani Matzasi B'Sefer HaZohar Parshas Pinchas, that Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai says that you should only say one bracha, that Vani Tamati, he says, Alhani Rav Ravi Acholkno, Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai, the Ogur says, I don't understand, how could people disagree with Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai if they knew what he was saying? And nevertheless, says, Ha'olam Noagim Levarich Shtayim, says Beis Yosef, I don't know why he's Tamati El Zem more than any other din that Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai writes in Sefer HaZohar against the Maskana of the Gemara, and we don't paskin like the Zohar, we paskin like the Maskana of the Gemara, because even if they knew that Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai said this in the Zohar, they never would have listened to Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai, just like they didn't listen to Rabbi Shimon in the Talmud in many places. So the Beis Yosef writes that Vamfarshim Duliolim Tzorach Levarich Shtayim Mashmalu Behed Yochai, those poskim that say you're supposed to say two brachos on tefillin, they say that because they think that's what the Gemara says, and that's why they paskin like that. So Kol Shekein, in the days of the poskim where they didn't have the Ma'ar HaKadosh Ba'olam, they didn't yet, it was not yet Nigla, the Sefer HaZohar, so why would they pay any attention to the Zohar in terms of Halacha is concerned? So there is a pretty strong point that the Ramah is making, that all of the sudden the Beis Yosef over here is so bothered that we have to be Choshish for the Zohar, even though we don't pass like Rabbi Shimon. The Beis Yosef himself makes the point that it's the same person. So Rav Zilberstein, Chashuk Echever over here, quotes from a Sefer from Rabbi Moshe Kunitz, Sefer Ben Yochai, who says two possible interesting ideas relating to the Zohar and Rabbi Shimon. He says a lot of times the in Shas we find Rabbi Shimon Stam, and every once in a while in Shas we find Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai, that is actually quoted as Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai, even though it's the same person. So what's the klal? When do we call it Rabbi Shimon? When do we call him Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai? So he says Rabbi Shimon Stam is before he was Nichnas L'Ma'ara. Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai is after he was already Yotze Min HaMa'ara, and he changed his mind on a lot of things after the Ma'ara experience. So the Halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon, but the Halacha is always like Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai, because that was after the Ma'ara experience. So he says the riot to that is that there are many times in Shas that they answer Rabbi Shimon from something that Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai said. But we never find in Shas that the Gemara asks a stira from Rabbi Shimon on Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Even though from Rabbi Shimon on Rabbi Shimon, we ask a lot of times in Shas, Miyam Rabbi Shimon Hachi, Ba'ad Va'am Rabbi Shimon, but we never have Miyam Rabbi Shimon Hachi, Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai, because Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai, it was known that he changed his mind about a number of things after the Ma'ara experience. So the Divrei Zohar, you have to say that even though Divrei Zohar are Rabbi Shimon, it's after the Ma'ara. So you understand why the Beis Yosef writes that we should be Machmir Kedivrei Zohar, because Ein Achinami, where Rabbi Shimon says that we give Nashas Asubana, we don't paskin that way, and we don't have to be Machmir that way. But since he wrote it again in the Zohar after he left the Ma'ara, Beis Yosef holds whenever he chaz it over again, and he and we have on record that he went on record after the Ma'ara, that we would paskin like, or we'd at least be choshish for, even if it wasn't paskin in the Gemara. That's one way to understand the Beis Yosef. Another point that he makes is that the Sefer Zohar HaKadosh was based on the teachings of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, but it certainly was not completed by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. There are a lot of other Ma'amarim from Amoroi Basroi, who are the Chosmei Sefer HaZohar. He says there are many Ma'amarim that are even later than Rabban and Savarai. Not every Maimer that was written in the Zohar. Right? That's what the scholars have pointed out, that the Zohar is very clearly not completely authored by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. It's from the times of the Rishonim. No, but it came in pieces. So there was so much of it is from Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and then it was completed by others. So it could be that, says Rabbi Zilberstein, that the Beis Yosef says that it could be that this Maimer, we should be Machmer Ve'Gir Nasha, was by Amoraim that hold like Rabbi Shimon about this, and therefore we should be Machmir Kamosam. Meaning, if in later generations we see that Amoraim were being Machmir for Shitas Rabbi Shimon, so that already maybe sets a precedent in terms of the Halacha. So those are the two ideas he brings about the Sefer HaZohar. He just points out that there are a number of cases where there are Ma'amarim that are not like Rabbi Shimon in the Zohar. The Zohar says that a person should not be Mashmiya Ozno Est Filaso. That even though the halacha in Shulchan Aruch is that when you daven, you should daven loudly enough that you could hear it, but not loudly enough that your neighbor could hear it, Zohar says, no, you shouldn't even daven loudly enough that you can hear it. But the Kabbayis writes that even though Rov Poskim say you have to be Mashmiya Ozno, but the Zohar holds that Afil Mashmiya Ozno Aser, so you should be Choshesh for the Divrei HaZohar, even though in Shulchan Aruch we say not that way. So the Gemara in Sota, in Daf Lamed Beis, Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochum Rishum Rabbi Shim Ben Yochai, why were we misakin tefillah belachash, shalol levayish as over avera? That not to be mivayish, people who've done averos and they're saying they're vidui in their tefillah, and if they were saying it out loud, everyone's going to look at them and be like, what, you did what? So you don't want to be mivayish, people who are over avera. So you see that the inyan, not to be magbiya tefillah, is only shalol yishmu la'acherim, but not that you shouldn't hear it yourself, you're allowed to hear it yourself. That's Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shim Ben Yochai, and yet in the Zohar it says that not to even be mashmiel laz, no, your own ears. So you see, that's one of the rayas, that not everything in the Zohar is from Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. That is what Rav Zilberstein writes. Now, it happens to be just interesting. That example, not being Mashmila Azno, I've never done a poll, I've never conducted a poll on this, but you walk through most shuls, I would bet, during Shemona Esrei, and even if you put your ear very, very closely to the people davening, you probably would not hear them saying it audibly, to Mashmila Azno. Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, in his Tshuva Sefer, has a whole Hakdama where he discusses the interplay between Kabbalah and Halacha, and he tries to show that as we draw closer to the Imos of Mashiach, we never paskin like the Kabbalah against the Halacha, but when there are multiple views in Halacha, the Kabbalah very much sends us in one direction, particularly as we get to Imos of Mashiach, that Klal Yisrael has this pull toward the Kabbalah, and that's one of his examples. He says the Halacha is pretty, in Shulchan Aruch is, Shmi Mashmi Lazno. The Kabbalah, the Zohar, is not to be Mashmi Lazno. And most people, Klal Yisrael, has this intuitive sense to follow the Zohar on this inyan. La halach of some nasa shayla, the answer is still that you're supposed to be mashmiya la'azna. That's the way you're supposed to do it. Okay, says the Gemara now. Shleima in chatu chalav. So what do we see from the fact that the Mishnah says you can send a yerech? Sounds like only if it's shleima, but if it's already cut up, you're not allowed to send it to an Ovid Chavim without removing the gid first, because when someone buys it from him, sees that it's a yerech chatucha, he's going to assume that the gid is already taken. He's going to eat it as is without removing the gid. So b'mayaskinan, well, what kind of place are we talking about over here? Ile makom she'in makrizin, if we're talking about a place where the Jewish butchers do not announce in the city when they find a treifa in the slaughterhouse, that everyone should realize that we found a treifa and we're selling it to an Ovid Chavim, and therefore Jews will know to be aware not to buy things from an Ovid Chavim because it might be a treifa. So then chatuchanami lishnale, then even if it's a cut up thigh, it should be mutter to send to the Ovid Chavim, the halos l'mizbar mine, because no Jew is going to buy from him. They all got the memo, they all heard the announcement. Ela b'makom she'machrizin. So I'm sorry, they're not going to buy from him because it's a makom she'in machrizin, so they're always careful not to buy from him. So ela b'makom she'machrizin. No, we must be talking about in a case where they always do make a hachraza, and on that day there was no hachraza that they found trefos, and therefore there are going to be Jews buying from Ovdei Kachavim on that day. So since it's mutter for a Jew to buy basar from Ovdei Kachavim, so you can only send a Yerech Shlema to an Ovid Chavim, because then the Jew will know that to buy it from the, when he buys it from the Nachri, that the Gid has to be taken out. But a Yerech Hatucha with the Gid in it is going to be asur to send to a guy, because the Jewish buyer is going to think that the Gid was taken out already. He's not going to realize that he needs to take out the Gid. So it says Gemara, no, if the Mishnah is talking about a Makom Shemachriz and it happens to be a day that they were not Machriz, Shlema Nami Lo Lishtalei to Chatechai Mazmalei, you shouldn't even be able to send him a shlema, because maybe the guy is going to cut it up and sell it to, he's going to butcher it, he's going to cut it up, and then he's going to sell it to the Jew without removing the gira nasha. So it says, Mari, Iba yaseima b'makam shemachrizin, Iba yaseima b'makam shemachrizin. Two ways to understand our Mishnah. Could be talking about a makam shemachrizin, or could be talking about a makam shemachrizin. Iba yaseima b'makam shemachrizin, chitucho d'vchav mediyadi. That it could be that it's a makam shemachrizin. Aye, we said maybe the guy is going to cut it up. No, the way a guy cuts up a yerech, a Jew will recognize immediately. So he's going to know to differentiate between the way a Jew butchers the thigh and the way a Nachri does. So he'll be able to recognize whether he needs to take the gid or not. Or we might be talking about a place where ein machrizin, where it's aser for a Jew to buy meat from another chum anyway, and still the chum aser to send the yerech to chatucha with the gid to another chum. Because we're afraid that you might give it to the Nachri in front of another Jew, and when that Jew sees that you gave it to the Nachri, he's going to think that it's okay to buy it, he's going to think that it's kosher, and he's going to go buy it from that Nachri, because since it's Chatucha, he's going to assume the Gid was taken. But a Yerech Shlema you're allowed to send, because the Jew will recognize that it's that there's a Gid Anash in there, and he'll take it out. Or you could say that really the Mishnah is talking about a Makom She'en Machrizin, and the reason that it's also to be shalech yerech chatucha to another chavim is not because a Jew is going to buy it from him, but rather, and here's where we get into the sugya, mishum de kaganav le daite, you're being gonev das of the other chavim, that since you're giving him a yerech chatucha, the Nachri assumes that you love him so much, that you're so that you're giving up of yourself for him, that you're even giving him this delicious cut of meat, and you only did it because you can't eat it. So the other chavim is going to be machzik tova b'chinam. And that's the problem. Amar Shmuel, also lignav das abrios vafilu daito shalov chavim. One is not allowed to be gonev das of anybody, including a das, the das of another chavim. There's a major discussion in the Rishonim whether this is an Isser Dal Raisa or an Isser Drabanan. The Ritva in our sugya says that the Isser of Gnevas Das is an Isser Mida or Raisa. He says that he quotes this from Ktsas Rabuseinu B'Shem Balei Atosos, that it's an Isser Torah. It's derived from the Pasuk Lo Sign Vlos Chachshu, and even though the end of the Pasuk is Ishba Amiso, it's not going. It's going on the Lo Sashakru part. That's Ishba Amiso, but Gnevas Das is usher even for an Ovid Chavim. Not everybody agrees with that. That is the Shitas Haritva, but they do point out that it would turn out that it's Gnevas Das is even worse than Gnevas Mammon. That Gnevas Mammon of an Akum is Machlokas, whether it's Nisad Darais or Nisad Rabban, definitely Aser. You know, definitely not allowed to do it, but according to the Ritva, Gnevas Mammon might be only an Isser Darabanan of an Akum, but Gnevas Das of an Akum is going to be an Isser Daraisa. Vahad Shmuel Lav Beferishit Marel Machalit Mergmar says, you know, Shmuel Shita, that it's also Ligan of Das Abrios, Afil Das Akum, is not something that he said explicitly. We were able to derive it from a story that happened. Shmuel Havaka Avar B'Mavra. Shmuel was going on a boat over the river. Amrei L'Shamei Paisei L'Mabure. He told the Shamish, go give some payments to the Balasvina. So Paisei V'Ikbid. The Shamish gave some payment, and Shmuel got very upset because the way the Shamish paid the Balasvina was Gonev Das of the Balasvina. My time at Ikbid. Why was Shmuel upset on the Shamish? Amrabai Tarnagolas Treif Havai Avayavanale Bimar Dishkuta. That he had a Tarnagolas trefa that he couldn't eat anyway, so he gave it to the non-Jewish sailor as if it were a Tarnagolas shchuta to make him feel like he did something really nice for him, and he gave something up that he could have had himself. Rava Amar and Paka Amar Le La Ashkuye, that there was a kli that had a revius lug of yayin of undiluted wine, and Shmuel said you should give that to the Balasmina, to the Balasvina, Va'ashkiye Chamra Mazika, and he gave him yayin mazug that instead of yayin chai, instead of undiluted wine, he gave him diluted wine. So he's going to das balasvina because he thought he was giving him undiluted wine, which is higher quality, and that's why Shmuel got upset at the Shamish. So says Mar, okay, why do we have to make a point of saying that Shmuel's din was not said explicitly, but was only derived from a maisa that happened? So how does that change anything? So the Gemara says, if we would have heard this from Shmuel directly, so then there's nothing we could question. Because if he would say directly that it's also Ligon of Das Nachri, so that's it. But now that we only know it from this maisa, maybe we're misinterpreting the maisa. L'man yamar trefa avai, if you assume that the story happened, that he gave a trefa chicken to this Nachri, Amalei amai tashi isura. Maybe what Shmuel was upset at him about was not that he gave it to the guy, but why did you still have a treifa? I mean, he said, oh, let me get the treifa out of my fridge. What do you have a treifa for in your fridge? You shouldn't keep around. Yisurim. L'man yomar an paka amalei lashkuyei, an paka chaya mashma. And according to the shita that Shmuel told the Shamish to give him an paka, so it could be that he was upset because he told him to give him undiluted wine. And he was mevazah the covenant and he didn't listen to what Shmuel said, so he just didn't listen. He didn't listen to instructions. I'm not upsetting you that you're going to the das of the guy and that he thinks he's getting undiluted wine. You gave him diluted wine. Do whatever you want with the guy, but I'm just upset that you. I'm just upset that you didn't listen to me. So the Gemara brings a number of dinim related to Gnevas Das. Tanya, Hayramei Omer Al Yisrayev Adam Lachavero Lisoletzlo V'Yodeh Bo She'en Osoid. A person should not try to invite his friend and as if he intends to actually have him over, knowing that he can't come anyway. He just wants you to know that he's just trying to convey the invitation as a way of developing the friendship, because that's a Gnevas Das, that he thinks that you really really want him to eat at your house, and that you're disappointed that he can't make it. And not only that, a person should not give someone a number of matanos, knowing that the person will not be mekabel the matanos. You send someone mishloach matanos, and every year they say, no, we can't deal with all the packages and you know, the candy and whatever. We have no kids at home anymore, or whatever. And they always send away. So you keep sending anyway. Just so you buy the most big, beautiful mishloach matanos for somebody else, but you give it to them first. They say, no, thank you. Oh, I tried. Okay, and then you move on to somebody else. So you're not allowed to do that. Now, the halacha by Mishloach Manos is we pass in Shulchan Aruch that if you send someone Mishloach Manos and they say, no, thank you, you're already yotzei the mitzvah, right? That's the discussion of why it's called Mishloach Manos. The Binyan Tzion has that strange hava mina that maybe it's called Mishloach Manos because you have to dafka do it all your day as Shliach and that you can't give it directly. But the Binyan Tzion says, nah, that's ridiculous. It's Mishloach because you're yotzei just with the Shiluach. But to do that lechachilu, knowing that would be Gnevis Das. If you know that they're going to reject it and then to try to send it or any matana, that would be a violation of Gnevis Das. You shouldn't open up barrels of wine that are sold to that are, have already been sold to a chenveni, unless you let him know. Meaning, it used to be that he had a giant barrel of wine. So if a person just wanted one, it was a commitment to open up the barrel of wine because once the barrel was opened, if it didn't get used quickly, the wine would spoil. So you have a chash of a guest, it's worth it. You'll open up a barrel of wine, even though you're just going to drink a little bit, because this is an adam chashav. But a regular guest, not so worth it. You would think twice before opening the barrel. But if you already have a deal with a chenveni that you're going to be providing the wine that day, so you're fine opening the barrel, because whatever is left, you're going to sell to the chenveni anyway. You're going to bring it to the chenveni. So if you have this already sold to the chenveni, and the guest comes and he thinks, oh, you're opening up this barrel just for me, you're risking all that loss just for me, so that's a gnevas das if it's already sold to the chenveni. Person shouldn't take an empty pach shemen and say that to someone that he knows that who doesn't normally use shemen, he doesn't normally anoint himself with shemen. Here, enjoy, take some shemen because you know that it's empty. So the person thinks you're actually offering him something and you're not. But if you're doing it in public, in order that other people should know that you're making this gesture of kavod toward him, so that's what you're really giving him is not pach shemen. You're giving him kavod, and the kavod is achieved because people see what you're doing, and therefore it's mutter. Says Gemara, Eini va'ula ikla lebe Rav Yehuda pasuk lechavias hamachurus lechenveni. So, but didn't Ula go to Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda opened up for Ula wine that was sold to a chenveni? So how is he allowed to do that? Isn't that Gnevis Das? No, Oduyeyode. He let him know that I already sold this to a chenveni. So, oh, just your luck, you came on a great day. I already sold this wine to a chenveni, so I'm able to share some with you. V'iba yisayim ha'shayni ula d'chav le'd Rav Yehuda d'blav ha'chinem p'tuchim yiftach le'y. Or, Rav Yehuda is different because the ula is different because Rav Yehuda loved him so much that anyway he would have opened it up for him, and therefore it's not Gnevis Das to make him think that he did because he would have. It's he honestly would have, even had he not sold the wine to a chenveni. Tan Rabbanan, lo yelech adam lebeis ha'evel biyado login ha'miskashkesh. Person shouldn't go to be Menachem Avelim when he has a little jug that has a little bit of wine in it, because the Avel thinks that he's bringing him a kli that's full of wine, and it turns out that he's bringing Gonev Das. You also shouldn't fill it up with water, because the Avel is going to assume that it's wine. But if there are chaburos of people in the city that and he's being miskaven to be Menachem, to be machshiv the Avel, that they're going to say, oh, look how chashuv this Avel is, that this guy is mechabed him so much, then mutter, then you're allowed to bring him even just a little bit of wine or when a jug full of water, even though it's gonev daito, because gadol kavod abrios. You're really giving him a sense of great kavod that people see that you're making this gesture. Tan Rabbanan, lo yimkor adam lechaveru sandal shel mesa bechlal shel chaya shchuta. A person should not sell a shoe that's made of leather that came from an animal that died on its own, not from shechita, just died on its own, with the understanding that it came from leather of a shechted animal. And there are two reasons for this. First of all, an aur of a behema that was healthy, that was then shechted, is a stronger type of leather than aur from a behema that died on its own. So you're being gonev daito by giving him something that's not as high quality as what you're claiming to give. And the other thing is that maybe the animal died because of an ashichas nachash or something. There was some sort of poison that may have gotten into the or, and maybe now it's dangerous for you it's dangerous for the fellow to wear those shoes. So the person needs to know what sort of risk he's taking if he's going to wear those shoes. That's I think in Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, that's one of the things it says, not to wear the shoes of a person who died. that even though you can yarshen all of his clothing or whatever else, not shoes. If someone died, you shouldn't wear shoes. So the question, where did Rabbi the Chassid get that? So the Ramesha writes that it's probably based on this idea that Rabbi the Chassid was concerned that maybe there's some disease that was passed through the shoes or something that you're choshish for. So if you know what the person died from and you know that it's not passed through the feet, so then you don't have to be choshish for that Rabbi the Chassid. Person shouldn't bring a barrel full of wine with some oil at the top because the person thinks you're giving him that which is more valuable than wine. Oil is apparently more valuable than wine. And one time someone sent such a gift, pretty tragic end to the story. They sent him this barrel that he thought was oil, so he invited a whole bunch of guests to come enjoy the oil with him. Then he opens it up and the whole rest of it is wine, and he was so embarrassed that he had all these guests and he didn't have what to serve them that he strangled himself. The guests are not allowed to take from what the balabais gave them to then give to the children of the balabais. That meaning that because their assumption is, sure, I can share this food because there's more coming out of the kitchen. Because you always have to be choshesh, maybe the balabais doesn't have more than he already gave you. And when he sees that you're giving your portions to the children, he's going to be embarrassed because he's not going to have what to offer you now. Ellen came not the rishus from balabais, unless you first ask rishus from the balabais to see that he's masking that you do it. One time it was years of famine. And a person had guests, and he only had three eggs that he could give them, one egg for each one. Babino shel balabais natalach min chelkov nisanalo. The son of the balabais came, and one of the guests gave his portion to the son. Sheni yivchein shlishi, and then the second and the third son also, they all got the portions of the guests. The same kid. So the father of the Tino came and he saw that he's chewing one piece of bread. It's not three beitzim, but three kibbeitzim of bread. So he's chewing one beitz of bread in his mouth and he's got one in each hand. So he sees that all the food that he had for the guests, now the kid has, his child has. So chavata bekarko meis. So he beat him up and he killed him. Kivin sharasa ima, when the mother saw that the child had died, also gag v'naflo meisa. She went and committed suicide. The guy saw that he just lost his whole family. Afu al gag v'naflo meis. So he also went and jumped off the roof and died. Amar Rabbi Zman Yaakov al davar zeh nergu sholosh nefashos v'Yisrael. All because of this, because someone didn't ask rishus from the balabais before giving to the balabais his child. So we lost three nefashos of Klal Yisrael. Three people died. So Mike Mashmalan, what's Rabbi Lazar coming to be mechadesh more than the Maisa already tells us? Meaning Rabbi Lazar, he did the math for us. That, one plus one? So it's three. No, we know that already. So Dekula Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov, so says Gemara, the Tana of the Brisa is coming to tell us that the entire Memra that's said in the Brisa is Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov, and he's the one that's mechadesh that you're not allowed to give to Orchim from that which the Balabais has, that the Orchim are not allowed to give from that which the Balabais has given to them based on this Maisa Shahaya. There is an interesting discussion in by Pesach whether a person has to make a kinyan on his matzah, meaning the Rush quotes is medayik from the Gemara that you're not yotzei matzah on Pesach unless it's lochem, and based on Yerushalmi as well. So there's a discussion, what about, do you become the owner of food when it's automatically placed in front of you? So this is one of the makaros of the discussion. I mean, if I'm the owner, I could do whatever I want with it. I'm allowed to give it to whoever I want. So this is a whole discussion, whether you could be Makadish and Isha with your portion. You know, you're at one of these yeshiva guys, at one of these meals in Eretz Yisrael where they just invite the world, and you're sitting next to a wonderful young lady, you strike up a conversation, and you think, well, this would be a great time to get married. So you go and you take the food that the balabais has given to you. Harei ha-mekadesh asli. The Rama writes in Eben Ezer that an oreach sheyoshev etzel balabais and he's not telchelko mekadesh bo'os yisha mekudeshes. So the Taz asks from our Gemara that a guest is not allowed to give away his portion to the b'no shel balabais. So the Taz writes safek kiddushin. You're not sure that he's actually being makne to you. So Sasema says some are makne to be makne the matzah to all the guests because otherwise No, it's for you to eat, but it's not for you to keep. It's not for you to have full bailus over when I give you a portion. It may happen nafkamina in Hilcha Shabbos that when someone is a guest at someone's house, so you want to bring a gift on Shabbos, but there's an issur of making a kinyan on Shabbos. So the poskim are mekel, you bring food that everyone's going to share. Really, is that not a kinyan? Because when everyone gets their portion, are they not kona their portion? So it may turn out a chumrah in one area is a kula in the other area. Okay, tan rabbana shaleich lechaver shlema. If you send a full thigh, you don't have to take away the gid anasha. But if you send it already sliced up, then you do need to cut out the gid anasha because it would otherwise be lifnei iver. The person will think the gid anasha has been removed already. But by novi chavim, either way, you don't have to take it out. There are two reasons that you're not allowed to sell nevels and treves to novi chavim. One is because it's Kneves Das, he thinks you're selling him kosher things, and it's really Neveles Trefus. Plus, there's the concern that he's going to turn around and sell it to Yisrael. You should not ask an Ovid Chavim to go to the butcher shop for you and buy you meat for two reasons. One, because the Ovid Chavim might take the money and run, or they might take the meat from the Tabach and without paying for it, they'll shoplift it and they'll keep the money. And also because the storekeeper may see that it's not the chavim coming to buy, and he's going to sell him the veil of the treifus. He's not going to sell him kosher meat. Things didn't come with a plumber and a seal and whatever. The amar mar. So let's analyze this price. When you give to novi chavim, whether it's chatuch or shlemi, you don't have to take out the gid anasha. What kind of place are we talking about? If we're talking about a place where there are always machruz when there's an avela trefa, so chatucha mayim l'tzorach litalem in a gid anasha. When you give a chatucha, why don't you have to cut out the gid anasha? Kivin d'la'achruz asil mizman minay. If there was no announcement that day, a Jew will very likely buy this meat from him. El pshita b'makom shein machruzin. So it must be that the resha of this price is talking about a case where there are never machruz, and therefore Jews are always on guard. They always know they're not allowed to buy meat from novid chavim. Ema mitziyasa, but then the middle part of the brisa says, "Bipnei shnei dvarim amru ein mokran neveles treves lo v'chavim." Two reasons not to sell neveles treves lo v'chavim. One, because it's a Gnevis Das, and the other because he might turn around and sell it to a Jew. But if it's a place where there are Ein Machrizin, Jews never buy from over the Chavim, because any day there might be an Avela or a Trefa, and you'll never know about it. So that case must be a Makom Shemachrizin. And on a day that they were not Machriz, the Jew will buy from the Ovid Chavim. So Ema Sefer, but then you go to the third halacha in the Braisa, Lo Yomar Adam Lo Chavim Kachli B'din Azeh Basam Nei Shnei Dvar Mechum Nei Anas Mechum Vechad Shema Mokrun Lo Nevelis Trefos. That two reasons that you can't send the guy to buy meat for you, either because he's not going to pay for it, or because maybe the Jew will sell him Nevelis Trefos. V'im Makom Shemachrizin. But if it's on a day, if it's a place where people are Machriz, and on a day that they were not Machriz, why do you have to worry that the butcher is going to sell him Nevelis Trefos? There were no Nevelis Trefos that day. Yis Adavet Trefa. Meaning, so you won't send the guy on a day that there were machriz, but there was no achraza that day, so you should know that everything is fine. So that case must be talking about a place where they are not machriz. So what just happened over here? Reisha v'seiv makom shein machrizin, mitzias makom shein machrizin. Case one and case three are talking about a makom shein machrizin, and case two is a makom shein machrizin. That's very odd. So it says there are three possible explanations. Number one, Amar Rabbi in Reisha. Get over it. It's odd, but that's the way the Brisa was formulated. Number two, Rava Amar, Kulav Makom Shemachrizin. Reish of Seifa Shehichrizu, Mitzias Shalachrizu. The whole thing is Makom Shemachrizin. But the case of the Reisha and the Seifa is different because it's a Makom Shemachrizin and they were Machriz. And therefore, the Jew is going to know to be very careful not to buy from the guy that day. Ravashi Amar, Kulav Makom Shein Machrizin. The whole thing is about a Makom Shein Machrizin. Aye, what about the Mitziyasa? The Brisa says that you're not allowed to sell nevels or treifos to novik chavim, even though in a makom she'in rak reason there's no chash that a Jew would buy from novik chavim. No, gzeir she mikrenda b'nei Yisrael. We're afraid that the butcher is going to sell it to novik chavim in front of a Jew, and that Jew is going to think that it's basar kasher, because otherwise the butcher for sure would have said that it's a treifa, and therefore he'll come to buy it from novik chavim in that case. So that's why the Chazal, they just always asked selling nevels or treifos to novik chavim. How would they do this hachraza? Some of Yitzchak bar Yosef, nafal bishul b'nei chela. They would say that we have meat for goyim. V'leima nafal treifas l'b'nei chela. Why can't it be more direct and say not just meat? We have treifa meat for goyim lo zavni, because then the goyim won't buy it. It's beneath them. They're going to go and buy treifa meat. So even though it's code word when you say we have meat for goyim, they know that that means treifa meat. But nevertheless, you don't say it explicitly. Iva kamatuluhu. But when you make this announcement, aren't you tricking them? Because you're saying we have meat for Goyim, it makes it sound like it's not treifa meat. Now, inu tekamatu nafshayu. They know, if they believe that it's not treifa meat, they're mistaken themselves. They should ask, you know, if they're advertising, the kosher butcher shop is advertising special meat for Goyim. So they should know to ask, why is this special for Goyim? And if they don't ask, that's their problem, that they didn't discover that it was a treifa. Okay, but from tomorrow, we'll pick up with that inyan of matanafshayu. All right.